where is this evil spirit at? Where is it rearing its ugly head? Because this doesn't make sense where someone can say they love you, but you feel so rejected by them. And it started giving me feelings that were painful because it reminded me of a season that I had with my mother when I was around 15 or 16. I was so convinced that this woman hated me.
Come on, Puddin'.
You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity.
Hey, what's up? Oh my goodness. Yes, I am the girl who has not been here for 2 weeks. Okay. I am admitting this. I have not been here for 2 weeks. Oh my goodness. So I want to formally welcome you and welcome myself back to Chatting with Charity. This ride is going to be a life update. The reason why I am making this all about me is because I just really have got to tell you some of the things that God has been doing in my life and encourage you to stay strong, to stay in the game, and to commit to faith. Okay. And this is going to be a gloves off episode, an episode full of transparency so that you can sincerely see that your girl been going through some things, but God is good and the glory is always for those who believe. Now, if you've been following me on social media, then you probably noticed that I've been going through a huge spiritual shift, or I would like to say an elevation to a new level in the kingdom of God. Amen. Right? So around the month of January to April, I was really going through it. And even though I was very consistent on these rides with you, in many ways, the rides that I've shared with you were things I was actually going through and revelations that were being given to me in the moment and in the time and in the season. And during these 4 months, God was really dealing with me to break something that I have been dealing with all of my life, even as a little girl. And it wasn't until I honestly hit a new level of rock bottom that I just sat back and I was crying to God, like miserable, wondering, why are you doing this to me? Like, what is going on? Is this ever going to change? Like, is this my life? You know, you made a promise to me and this promise does not look like the promise. This cannot be it. And there are many times that we find ourselves in seasons where we're so angry at God because the promise does not look like the promise you asked God for. And I kept battling with him back and forth. And in many ways, I just started to question everything that he was asking me to do because I did not want to do any more hard work if it was just going to keep putting me in the same scenario, the same position, and in the same situation. You know, they say crazy is doing the same exact thing over and over and expecting different results. I felt like God was trying to make me go a little cuckoo, ticky, boom, boom. Now, God doesn't put us in situations that he can't carry us through. So what ended up happening in that 4 month period is that God showed me what was happening and what I needed to do to break that season in my life so I never had to go through it again. Sometimes you will stay in the cycle until you understand how to orbit out of that cycle, and that's your responsibility. So no, God wasn't making me go crazy, but I, Charity, have never faced this one thing that I was dealing with all of my life, and it was at the root and at the core of my decision making, and it kind of resulted in a lot of the bad decisions that I've made in my life and things that I've done that I regret today or feel very, you know, sad about, or the things that I did not have enough courage to pursue, or just the whole debacle of my life all boiled down to this one thing. So my thing I was dealing with, yo, that kept me orbiting in this circle was rejection. Rejection. I know I have said this before, but that is a spirit that I have battled since conception. And I couldn't believe it's been cooking and rooting and digging and going deep down into places it doesn't need to be since I was a little girl. And it wasn't until I got to this point where I was in a relationship with someone and I felt so immensely rejected that I started to find myself having low self-esteem again and feeling like maybe I'm not worth everything that I think I deserve to have. And when you start asking yourself questions like that, that's when you know the enemy is around. So I started to try to figure out, like, where is this evil spirit at? Where is it rearing its ugly head? Because this doesn't make sense where someone can say they love you, but you feel so rejected by them. And it started giving me feelings that were painful because it reminded me of a season that I had with my mother when I was around 15 or 16. There was a period that my mother and I had a really bad relationship.
I mean, we had a bad, bad relationship because I was so convinced that this woman hated me. And there was nothing I could do to ever please her. There was no way that I could ever be good enough. There was no way I was going to satisfy her. And in her eyes, I always felt inadequate. I vividly remember this moment where I was just feeling so tormented. And I said, you know what? I'm going to face my mother and deal with this issue. So I begged my sister to stay up with me late at night. And around 11 or midnight, around that time, my mom came home from work. And I said, Mom, I want to talk to you about something. And I said, I feel like you don't love me. And do you know what she said to me? Child, go to sleep. I don't have time for your noise. I don't have time for what you're saying. It doesn't make any sense. Go to sleep. That was what she did. In that moment, my mother crushed me and it began a very dark period in my life because I just gave up. I gave up and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be stuck in this relationship where this woman doesn't like me. But still, it didn't settle in with me because you always know when something is wrong. You always know when something is off. There's some relationships where people hate you and it's okay. And then there are other relationships where you know that this is not supposed to be like that. That person isn't supposed to hate me. That is the one that's supposed to love me. This is supposed to be a better relationship. Why is it so, you know, negative? Why does it look like she doesn't love me when I know she loves me? She's got to love me. Why wouldn't my mother love me? So here I am in this season of my life again where I am facing someone that I love so much and I feel they hate me. That I'm the worst person in the world, that I did all of these things to deserve all of the things that I was getting, and all of my tears somehow were my fault. And I couldn't figure out how I was gonna stop what was happening, change what was happening, and what I was going to do because this person just wasn't willing to work with me, communicate with me, help me solve the issues that I was feeling. And every time I would cry about stuff, you just kind of got met with a muted mouth, you know, and I just started to go even more crazy in my head. But anyways, this story is not about the relationship. It's about the fact that I was facing rejection again. And this time it reminded me of severe rejection, the rejection my mother gave me. And that's something that I was very worried and concerned about and scared about because I knew that the enemy was in my relationship with my mother and I had to work so hard. When I tell you so hard on my bloody knees, praying to God all the time, I said, Lord, please, if you give me better boundaries and environments, I will make this relationship with my mother work. I would do whatever is necessary. I will forgive her 1,000 times. I will come back to the table to communicate. I will make room for love. Just please give me a better space and an environment to do this type of work. Okay? So I fought for my relationship with my mother and we ended up having the best time in the later years of her life. It was just the most beautiful relationship. She became my best friend. Everything about her made me excited and grateful for everything that I had to go through to get that relationship. And then she died. She died. I could not believe, oh my God, I did all this work and it worked. And then she died. And I got robbed of everything that I put into this relationship. I got robbed of the most important person I could ever love. I got robbed of the only person I wanted to love and loved me back. It was so traumatizing. That's probably the part of my mom's death that hurt me the most is how hard I worked for our relationship and how quick it disappeared on me. I went from a girl who was 15 and 16 feeling hated by her mother. I couldn't even stand the fact that I look like my mother. I couldn't stand the fact that I was never good enough for my mother and she just kept pushing me. And then I finally achieved a relationship where I was proud to be like my mom, where I apologized for all of my childish ways to her and for just being so angry that I was just like her, to being grateful that I was like the most amazing person in the world to me, which was her. I had achieved actualization. That's the thing we want in our lives many of the times is to have what we want to have the way we want to have it. And I got that. So here I am feeling like this little spirit of rejection, it's rearing its ugly head and it's deep the way it was with my mother. And I started crying. I said, oh my God, I cannot do all this work all over again. And you know what God said to me? The reason why you constantly are facing with the spirit of rejection is because you refuse to let me love you. You refuse to let me love you. How can you love anybody else? How can you receive love, give love, if you've never understood what love is through my eyes? Let me be the first demonstration to you of what true love looks like, where it doesn't come with pain first, where it doesn't come with trials and tribulations first. Let me give you love that can't be tainted by the devil because it comes directly from me. And I said, okay, well, cool, God, because right now I'm feeling very crazy. I'm feeling very rejected. And this is very hurtful. So I'm going to just go ahead and listen to you. So that's one of the things that kind of happened to me, is that I ended a relationship that was chaotic and confusing. And I just submitted myself to God and said, all right, I'm going to try it your way. I'm going to let you love me. So what happened after that, when I made the moment to shift and stop trying to find love in the world and to find love inside of myself and from God and to try to do this thing between him and I first, is that he started giving me creative projects to do. So I have been so busy building businesses, you guys. Businesses meaning plural, because the way God has been downloading in your girl has got me sitting at my computer all day creating these amazing things. And it's giving me a sense of purpose, sense of value and self-worth. I feel like I'm using my brain, this brain that I've been denying myself all these years of. I'm finally putting it to work, and I'm so amazed by what I'm able to create because I finally believe in myself. And there's something about dealing with your trauma and dealing with the things that haunt you, that when you face those things and you face that Goliath in your life, it opens up doors of opportunity because it shows you what your true strength is. And you start to realize that if you operate in strength and in faith, you can achieve so much more. Sometimes we're afraid of hard work. And I'm admitting that I am afraid of hard work, because it's always like this thing in the back of your head that tells you I might fail. It might not be worth it, or the thing just might die on you like my mom did to me. And I have to deal with the fact that if I don't put my efforts in, I will never know what my reward is, regardless of whether or not it is going to be success or failure. I'll never know. So I've been applying myself and just using my creative abilities to produce things that I truly believe that God has gifted to me. And it's just shown me all these things that I've been hiding inside of my heart. Also, I packed up and I moved my office space. I've had this office space and I don't even post it or show it because your girl was never there. And I kept wondering, this is not what God wants me to do. This is not where I'm supposed to be. So let me pack this up and I'm gonna figure this thing out later. But God's been talking to me about a promise he's gonna give to me, but I'm gonna wait to talk about that when it happens. So God has been saying, nah, I'm elevating you to glory. So we gotta do this thing differently. So I packed up my office space, and it was interesting because I remember when I moved into that office space where I was at in my life. And I'm astonished about how much God can do in 1 year, the turnaround that you can experience in your mind and the growth you can experience in your mind. So I packed up my office space, and guess what I'm packing up now? My apartment. But now I'm moving to a different county. I have been so nervous about this. When I tell you God has told me to move to this county like 2 or 3 years ago, I just never wanted to go. I kept thinking, what is over there? I don't want to figure it out. I don't feel comfortable being in that county. But guess what? Your girl is moving to a new county. And I'm so excited for what God is going to do in that space for me. And I don't know why he wants me there, but when you're obedient and you listen to the Holy Spirit and you move according to what he tells you to do, you find yourself moving forward into a blessing. So I'm really excited because I believe that I'm going to become a multimillionaire in that apartment. I'm going to find love in that apartment. I might even have a baby in that apartment. Sounds crazy, I know, right? But I'm just saying, God can do so much in 1 year. What will God do in 2 years in this space? You know, I'll grow out of it. I'll have boxes and shipments of things. Like, so much beautiful things are going to happen in this new space. And I thank God that I've been obedient enough to move, because this space is huge. I finally no longer have to live in a little shoe. Okay, you know, I record my rides in my bathroom with my shoe boxes. You don't want to imagine this. With my shoe boxes stacked up. And that is how we record rides all the time. It is ghetto, but I'm finally going to be able to have a podcasting section where I can do video recordings, and I don't have to keep setting up this ghetto station every single week to record and ride with you. That's kind of why I've been a little bit lazy with these rides, because I'm just tired of the ghetto setup. It is beneath me. So anyways, those are some of the things that I've been going through that has kind of made me all over the place, and just trying to learn how to use my gifts and trying to believe in myself and to, you know, put into practice the things that I say to you. You know, who am I? If I'm just talking and not applying it for myself, I ain't trying to have everybody go to glory and I'm still sitting back here, you know, riding with y'all and y'all don't listen to me. Done got yourselves in front of the line, and now I'm just still sitting there like a fool, right? So I'm really doing the things that I tell you to do. I'm implementing the work that I tell you to do, because at the end of the day, it's about us having a valuable life. It's about us having a life that we can be proud of. And that's essentially what I want for us. Here's the thing, and I want to land this real nice and smooth. I want to say to you that you have to be able to know how to discern the difference between a moment and a season. There are times where you will go through things years, and that is a season. But there are times where things are happening in the moment. When I was dealing with that spirit of rejection at the top of the year, it was for a moment. And if I did not shift when I was supposed to, that moment could have turned into a season. Now, when I was going through that situation with my mother, it was a season. It was a season, okay? You have to make sure that when you get yourself out of something and God pulled you out of something, that when that thing rears its ugly head, because what happens is that warfare comes back, and usually it comes back stronger, smarter, and wiser, okay? And quicker and more rapid. And it's your responsibility to constantly be on your toes when you're dealing with warfare so you can be vigilant, know how to discern it, know how to attack it. So the smarter your devils get, the smarter you get, the smarter your angels get. We all supposed to get smarter. We're all supposed to conduct ourselves like we're evolving in life, right? And not regressing. So the moment this thing was coming back into my life, it honestly came in a horrible package, because I'm thinking this guy's my husband and my husband's rejecting me and my husband doesn't love me. That's the narrative that was going on in my head that was causing me to be so emotional, until this day causes me a lot of strife, because I'm just like, dang, the enemy really knows to come after me with the people that I love. This to me was the indication where I knew this man has really got to be my husband, because ain't no way the devil gonna fight that hard for a jabukanizing fool, because there are other people in my life the devil should have fought. You know what I'm saying? There are other people that the devil should have fought to remove me from. And he didn't. He let me willfully go into these stupid relationships and date these stupid people and have traumatizing experiences. And then I finally find someone that I want to love, I want to be with, and it's awful. It's awful. And you know, for me, I have really bad relationships with people in my family. You know, it's strange. The people that I want to love the most are the ones I can't seem to love, okay? Or can't seem to love me back, or are just a hot mess. But glory be to God for forgiveness. So I had to just sit back and marinate and say to myself, Charity, are you going to allow yourself to break at this moment, or are you going to war in this moment, okay? I did a little bit of both, to be honest. I broke and I warred, because that situation was really hurting me. So that's basically what's been going on in my life. Like, that relationship shifted me closer to God. You know, that relationship showed me that if I have faith and I resist the enemy, he will flee. That relationship showed me that sometimes it's clay on your eyes trying to confuse you and tell you that you're crazy, you're not worth it, and you're not good enough. But if you remove that clay, you really see what God has in front of you. And for me, it was exciting businesses to start, new home, new place to live, new journeys, new paths. Exciting things are happening. And it's all because in that moment, I chose to not let that enemy send me back to the pits of hell, to not let that enemy have bondage on me, to not let that enemy make me feel like I don't deserve to be loved. I don't deserve to be happy, that I'm gonna have to fight so daggone hard to be loved by people who should love me naturally. Now, if I'm being honest, like, where am I at in my head right now? I'm okay. Like, I've really... I'm learning so much about life and settling into this new version of me. This new version of me I've always wanted to be. And I feel like we're still getting to know each other. Even though I prayed for this version of me for a long time, I didn't know that she was gonna be real different, you know? So I'm just praying for this new version of me, because she needs all the prayers she can get. I think we just don't understand how hard it is to line up into what God has called you to do, and how easy it is to disalign, to disjoin, and to disconnect from what God has called you to do. It requires narrow, precise precision. That's what it is. That is the word. It requires precise precision. You know, and when you lose focus, oh my God, it is hard to tap back in. But when you are hyper-focused, so much is happening at lightning speed. You're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Because things happen rapidly when you're hyper-focused. It's strange, okay? And you got to keep up with your own life. And it's like, wow, I never knew that being hyper-focused for 3 months could help me achieve more than I've achieved in 30 years. That's my life update. And I wanted to just reset because I'm back. I'm committed, okay? I'm committed to continuing to ride with you. I'm apologetic that I done, you know, missed my own rides. But I pray that God has been keeping you. I pray that God has been showing his face and his light upon your life. I pray that you have been encouraged and you're consistently being encouraged in your day-to-day life to know that you cannot have a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, okay, of wisdom, of discernment. I pray that God has been unlocking gifts inside of you that have helped you resist the devil so he can flee out of your life. I pray that you don't turn a moment into a season. I pray that God shows you when you are in a moment where the enemy is trying to lure you in right there. You know, Jesus said to Peter, you know, the devil desires to sift you like wheat. I pray to God that when you have that moment, you understand that God has already intervened for you, that you may not be captured by him. So when you are faced with things like myself, where it's rejection or whatever it is for you, self-doubt, you know, poor, you know, self-confidence, whatever the case may be, issues with your loved ones, you know, whatever. People got a lot of issues. We all got issues. Whatever your issue is, when it comes and it rears its ugly head and it's right in front of you and it's trying to fight you and you are tired, okay? You are tired of fighting it. Fighting your life and fighting people all over the place. You're just tired of that. When you're in that moment where the enemy has gotten you and cornered you, I pray that you have the faith and the boldness of a lion to know underneath the authority of God and by God's command that even when the enemy made the decision to put you in that corner and was plotting and planning for you to have your back up against the wall, that God had already ordained that moment and said, yes, the devil desired to sift you like wheat, but I have intervened for you. And I pray that in that moment, you have the boldness to tell the enemy, not today, baby, not today. Not today, baby, not today. Not being hyperactive, being a crybaby like me, going crazy, firmly and confidently saying, no, baby. Not today. So welcome to your not today season, right? Welcome to the space where you're not going to allow anything to come up against you and make you feel like it's going to set you 10 steps back. Let the devil know that you have grown. Let the devil know that you have implemented the things that God has been showing you. Display your faith to the enemy. Display your faith to the enemy, and I believe it's going to set you free. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that I did not allow that moment of rejection to set me back in a spiral, because I would have missed this moment. I would have missed this moment. And I thank God that he used that particular person to show me that I love that person. Okay, am I saying this? I'm saying this. That I love that person. Good or bad, indifferent, I love that person because I had an opportunity to face my inner self and to not make my issues about a relationship, but really my issues with a spirit. You understand that? When the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. That moment I saw the enemy trying to operate in someone that I loved to try to convince me that this was not the person I was supposed to love, to implement the spirit of rejection, to make me feel like I'm not worthy of what God had already told me belonged to me. And the things that were happening inside of the relationship, oh my God, were just so strange. I kept saying, God, this doesn't make any sense. What is this confusion about? And you know, when there is confusion, the devil is in the midst, right? There are times where you are so sound and you're like, this is toxic. Gotta get out. I'm not supposed to be here. And there are times where it's like, wait a minute. This my blessing. Now, who is messing with it? Because it don't make no sense. So anyways, I've been having to now kind of deal with the consequences of the enemy having access to
you know, that situation, because now we just opened up all these feelings and stuff like that. But that's where forgiveness, grace, and mercy and favor come in. And I'm gonna learn that in this season, how to do that. You know, how to, even when the enemy comes and tries to puncture things inside of your life, that you don't run from your life just because the enemy showed up, that you stand and you fight for what you know God has given you, what you know belongs to you, that you have the authority. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have the authority underneath your mouth to tell the devil to go and to not fight the people you love thinking they are the devil. They're not. They're not. It's going to hurt what the enemy is trying to do inside of your life and the things that you care about, and using the people that you love to do it. And it's not fun, and it's not easy to deal with. And sometimes they don't even understand how the enemy is using them. So it just creates a huge quagmire. But by the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are able to conquer these moments, and we are able to take the time to heal from these moments and to open up new opportunities to experience what God wanted for us in a healthier space and a healthier environment. So I'm excited now to love for real and to be more aware of how to operate in love. If that's what I really want and the enemy knows I want it, he's gonna come up against it, and I can't be unprepared. So that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm building my faith by staying consistent with God, doing these rides with you, challenging myself to forgive more, to think more, to learn the enemy's devices, so that when things happen, I don't get emotional, I don't get overworked, and I don't go running for the hills, because she's a runner, she's a track star. So I hope that's blessed you, like this ride has blessed you. I know it's all over the place. But anyways, some of our topics that are going to be coming up in future rides, yes, I'm getting more prepared now, is normalizing luxury, right? Therapy is second, dealing with grief, setting boundaries, getting ready for change, and being relentless. So those are some of the rides that are coming up, okay? So I want you to get excited, get geared up, start to find yourself being happier, more joyful, you know what I'm saying? Get excited and geared up for life. If you have not listened to my past rides, you need to, because we are about to set it off in the weeks to come, okay? We are about to get excited for what God is doing in our lives, and we are about to be hunting down some demons to kill, okay? Like some Pokemon people. So I am excited for you, and I'm excited for me. I love you, and thank you for riding with your girl all the time. Bye.
Come on, Puddin.
You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity. I'm Charity, entrepreneur and master curator of positive vibes. Life for me has been on the up and up, but the ride getting there, woo, that has been an interesting journey. It looks glamorous, from the luxury shopping experiences, weekend getaways to Bali, dune bashing in Dubai, and the many tastes of Africa. These experiences have just been a dip in the ocean. I've had to unlearn and learn new truths about God, love, life, and making money. Join me every Thursday as we take a ride that will change your life on Chatting with Charity. Don't forget to rate this podcast, share, like, and subscribe. See you next Thursday on Chatting with Charity, and don't forget to bring your friend. Until then, you can find us on Instagram @ Chatting with Charity.